We're holding on Ches Amud Aleph, sixth line. We learned yesterday a braisa that says, among other things, you're not allowed to do the bedikas chometz by the light of the sun. So the question is, hay or hamaheshi dami? What's the scenario that we're talking about that you might check by the light of the sun, and the braisa is telling us you shouldn't? In name of a chotzer, are we talking about that you're in a chotzer where there's plenty of light from the sun? Ha'amar Rava, but didn't Rava say chotzer ain't a tzricha b'dika? A chotzer does not require b'dika. Because ravens are commonly there. So in other words, any chametz that's there, the ravens or other birds will eat. There was a machlokes poskim on that. Does that apply even if there's vaday chametz over there? Does it only apply if there's suffolk chametz? Does it apply only to the middle of the chotzer? Maybe the sides are different because maybe the birds don't come there so commonly. But anyway, the point is that there is some part of the chotzer, at least, that you don't necessarily need to do bedikah. So who cares whether there's sunlight or not? Ela b'achsadra. So are we going to say we're talking about an achsadra, which is closed in on three sides and open on the fourth side? We actually learned in Eruvin, we had a machlok, Rashi and Tosfos over there, what an achsadra means, whether it actually has walls on. Rashi had learned that an achsadra over there meant that it only has pillars on the corners and a roof on top, and the sides are completely open. And Tosfos had understood over there, and in other places, that an achsadra has three walls and is completely open on the fourth. Anyway. So, if you're talking about an achsadra, ha'amar Rava achsadra la'ur nevjetis. Rava says that an achsadra can be checked by its light, meaning that you just check and you don't need to bring a candle there at night. You just check it during the day. Not all the poskim agree that Rava is saying what Rava may be saying is better you should be checking it by night like you do everywhere else, and in that case you do it by candlelight. But if you didn't do it by night, so we had the Bala, we said yesterday, the Bala Mar holds that if you have a place that you can't check by night, then you're allowed to check during the day of the 13th and use a candle. So the point is here you wouldn't need a candle because it has natural light. The other possibility is, according to everybody else who says that you can't do that, they would say that you'd check it during the day of the 14th. But anyway, also you don't need candlelight because it's lit up. So what's the case where you're doing bedikah during the day, you're doing bedikah during the day, but on the other hand, the place doesn't have enough natural light, and therefore we're saying that you can't check by sunlight, you need a candle. What is that case? So the answer is lo tzricha l'ba'aruba d'cheder. The answer is that we're talking about where you have a skylight in the middle, where you have a skylight in the middle of a room. So the question is, okay, but where in that room are you talking about that you're checking? If you're talking about that you're checking under the skylight, well, then that's exactly in effect. That's the same as an achsadra. It has a lot of natural light coming in through the skylight, so the same logic should apply. Yeah, if you're checking by night, you need a candle, but if you're checking by day, there's enough light coming in through the skylight that you should be able to check just by that. So why is the braisa telling us that you can't? The answer is elo l'tzdadin. Okay, but we're talking about the sides. We're talking about to one side or the other of the room, so it's not directly under the hole. So unlike a chotzer and an achsadra, where they're open enough that you have enough natural light throughout the whole thing, here you only have enough natural light under the aruba, or fairly close to it. Anywhere else in the room, it's still not light enough, even during the day, and therefore we're saying you can't check by sunlight. You need a candle there, even if you're checking during the day. Okay. Now, we had said in the braisa that you can't use an avuka, you can't use a torch. So the question is, va'avuka loy? You're telling me you can't use a torch? And a torch, by the way, for this purpose, is defined as two or more wicks together. Like we have a similar din when it comes to Hanukkah candles, the same idea that you can't use an avuka, and there also the deal is if you have two wicks together. So why can't you use an avuka? Doesn't it give an even brighter light? V'ha'amar Rava, my dichtiv, what does it mean, a pasuk in Chavakuk, it's in Haftarah, the second day of Shavuos, v'noyach ka'or tiyeh, there will be a glow, there'll be a shine like the light, ka'nayim miyodei loy, there will be rays of light from his hand to him, to the tzaddik, Vesham Chevyen Uzay, and there is the concealment of his strength, meaning Rashi explains that the tzaddikim in the future will have a glow like they had in Shivasime Bnei, in like the light of the original 7 days of creation. We had that actually at the beginning of the Masechta when we talked about the pasuk Ucha'ur Berku Yizrach Shamesh, that what's now the glow that you now have and that you now have. During the daytime will be for the tzaddikim like it is, will at the time of Mashiach, when Mashiach comes, then the tzaddikim will have that glow even in the morning when the light is still faint. So here we're saying the same thing, that the Hashem will give them a glow, v'noiga, the light will be, ka'urtiyeh, it'll be like that original light of Sheshesime Bereshis, Shivasime Bereshis, ka'naim, there will be a rays of light, miyad, miyodoi, from Hashem's hand, loy, to him, to the tzaddik. But nevertheless, their light will still not be as intense as the light of Hashem. There'll still be a difference between the Boda and the Nivra because it'll still be Vesham Chevyen Uzay. There, Hashem's strength is concealed. In other words, you're still going to have that Hashem's light is still going to be more intense than what he grants to the Tzaddikim, because there's still going to be, after all, a difference between the Boda, between Hashem himself, and the Nivra, the Tzaddik. Marsha explains it a little bit differently. The Noigar we're referring to is the light of Hashem. Ka'urtiya, it will be as intense as the light of a torch. Karnayim Yodei Loi, there will be rays of light from that to the Tzaddik. Visham Chavyanozai, so in other words, according to Rashi, the Noigar Ka'urtiya refers to the glow that Hashem will grant the Tzaddik. According to Marsha, the Noigar is the glow of Hashem himself. Anyway, the point is that we're saying, and the point is, Rava says, "Lamat tzaddikim don b'fnei shchina." What can we compare tzaddikim in the presence of the shchina to? Kener b'fnei ha'avuka, like a light in the presence of a torch. So we see that a torch has a much more intense light. So why can't you do b'dikas chametz with a torch? And furthermore, v'omar Rava avuka la'avdala mitzvah menamulcher. In fact, Rava says there is a mitzvah where it's ideal to use a torch, namely for havdala. So why is it by b'dikas chametz not? The answer is Omer of Nachman. So the Gemara gives several answers. Omer of Nachman is Ze Yochalach Nisa L'Chorin L'Stokin, V'Ze Eni Yochalach Nisa L'Chorin L'Stokin. Because the difference is that a candle is small, so you can easily get it into the holes and the crevices, as opposed to a torch is larger, and therefore you can't get it in there. So you can't easily check the holes and the crevices for chametz, and you're supposed to be doing that. Rav Zvid Omer, Ze Oda L'Fana V'Ze Oda L'Achra. Rav Zvid says the difference is that a candle or a lamp casts light in front of it, which is where you're holding it, as opposed to a torch casts light mainly behind it. So the point is, in other words, you're holding the candle or the torch in front of you and using it to be burning chametz, a candle is good because then the light is in front of it, meaning between you and it, and therefore you can clearly see in front of you. The torch's light tends to go more away from you, so that doesn't help, then you have the torch in the way. Rapapa, I'm a high boys, high low boys. Rapapa says, with one, you're not afraid. With a torch, you're afraid. It's so large, it's such a large flame, you may set your house on fire. But high low boys, as opposed to a candle or a lamp, is smaller. You're less likely to you're less likely to be afraid that you're gonna set the house on fire, and therefore you'll check more carefully. Ravina, I'm a high moshach nahor. Ravina says another difference is that a candle's light burns steady. Behind mikdafik tufi, as opposed to a torch, the light jumps around, as we see when we make havdalah, where the light jumps around over there a bit on the havdalah candle. So therefore, for all those reasons, therefore, you can't use a torch for bedikas chametz. Again, we talked about yesterday about using a flashlight, especially in places where you can't reach using a candle. Most of the poskim achronim are fine with that. I think it's kind of funny, by the way, if we were speaking British English, we would have a much harder time explaining that point because they use the word torch to mean a flashlight as well. But in American English, we have a clear distinction. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Kol Mokum She'en Machnis in Chula. We said any place where you don't bring in chametz, you don't need bedikah. So the Gemara says, Kol Mokum La'asu Yemai. What is that word, Kol Mokum? What is that coming to include? After all, the Mishnah could have just said, a place where you bring in chametz requires bedikah. Or the Mishnah could have said, a place where you don't bring in chametz doesn't require bedikah. Why use the word kol, any place? So what is the kol adding, or why is the Mishnah phrasing it in the negative rather than the positive? So the answer is, La'asu Yehod Detanu Rabbanan. It comes to include this that we learn in a Braisa. Chore bayis ha'oyonim v'atachtonim, holes in a house that are high up and that are low down. So high up, in other words, they're too high on the wall. Now, like this, you have, in those times, it was common enough, you had holes in your walls, and you would commonly use those holes to store things, like you would nowadays in a drawer or a cubby or something. But if the holes are too high up on the wall, then it's inconvenient. You're not going to bring over a chair every time to put something in and out of the holes. And the same thing with the lower ones, the ones that are close to the floor. So they're inconvenient to use. A number of the Rishonim say that this only applies if you don't know that there's chametz in there. It's a suffix whether chametz was ever brought in there, but if you know that if you did in fact use them, or you know for a fact that there is chametz in there, then you would have to check. Anyway, continues the Braisa. And by the way, this only applies to holes in the, this only applies to holes in the wall. Holes in the floor, you do need to check, because even if you don't actually bend down to put things in them, inevitably chametz falls and lands in those holes. So those, therefore, those you do have to check. Holes, cracks in the floor, whatever. Anyway, it continues the Braisa. The Gag HaYetzia, also the roof of a Yetzia. A Yetzia is like Rashi translates it with the word appendix, essentially. I mean, the word we have in front of us in Rashi is anperitz, but it was meant to be the word appendix. It's basically, because that's what it is. It's like an appendix to the house. Like you have on some houses around it, there's a little porch or a little side building or whatever with a pitched roof, with a slanted roof that goes off one side of the house. The roof of it is slanted, it's pitched. Therefore you don't need to check it because you don't put things on it because they'd slide off. The Gaga Migdol, the top of a wooden cabinet, the same thing, you'd need to check the inside of it because you might have put chametz inside it, but the top of it again is slanted, is pitched, therefore again you don't need to. The refes bucker, also a stable where you keep cattle, because if there was any chametz in there, the animals would eat it. There also you have the distinction between whether there's vadei chametz or suffek chametz in there. If there's suffek chametz, we're saying you don't have to check it. If there's vadei chametz, you can't necessarily rely on the fact that the animals ate it. The lulin, also chicken coop, same idea. Umasbein, and a place where you store straw. The oitzves yayin, the oitzves shemen. Also, storehouses of wine or of oil, Ein Tzrich and Bdikka, all those places don't require Bdikka. Now, a storehouse of wine, we're going to mention soon. The Mishnah had told us that there are cases you have to check a storehouse of wine, but the Braisa is saying that you don't have to. The point is, all of that is included in the word kol makim. When it said, it didn't just say makim she'ein machnisin bechametz, where, for example, I think the Maharam Chalava says, if it said makam shein machnisin bei chametz, so you would think, okay, so what it means is if you have a room where you don't bring in chametz, then it doesn't require bedikah. But if you have a room where you bring in chametz, then everything in that room, even the holes high up on the wall or low down on the ground, etc., do require bedikah because they're in a room where chametz is brought. Therefore, the Braisa is telling us, and therefore the Mishnah is implying with the word kol, that no, even though it's in a room where chametz is brought, because these particular places, it's inconvenient to use with chametz or with anything at all, therefore you don't have to check them. Continues the Braisa. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mita HaChelekes Pesach HaBayis, a bed that separates the house, meaning Rashi says, let's say you have, so one part of the house, one part of the room is going to be used for one purpose, another for another purpose. So instead of putting up an actual partition, let's say you put a bed in the middle. And Rashi says it doesn't have to be that way. It could just as well be that you have the bed there Stamazoi. Anyway, he says, so it's separating one side of the house from the other. Tzricha b'dika, umafsekes rather means where there is a hefsek, there is a separation between the bottom of it and the ground. In other words, it has very tall legs. So then tzricha b'dika, then he says it requires b'dika underneath it, because there might be chametz underneath it. So the Gemara says, or Raminu, I have a contradiction about that last point. First of all, the Braisa says, Chor Shemein Adam L'Chaveroi. If there's a hole, well, actually, we have a contradiction, is going to be on a couple of points. Chor Shemein Adam L'Chaveroi. If there's a hole in the wall between one person's house and the other, so you have a hole that goes, let's say, all the way through the thickness of the wall, Zeb Boydek Adyok Admokam Shiyodim Agas, then the person on the one side has to check in it as far in as his hand can reach, as his arm can reach, Zeb Boydek Admokam Shiyodim Agas, the other one does the same thing, Vashayim Mavatle Beliboy, whatever's left over there, you can be Mavatle in your heart, because Pashtus, you didn't put anything there in the first place. Or even if you did, maybe the Chachamim are not matriach you to go and sweep it out. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mita Chalekas Pesach HaBayis, if a bed is separating in the house, Ve'etzim Va'avodim Sdunim Tachter, and there's wood or stones piled up underneath the bed, umafsekes, and the bed is tall, and the bed is tall, and there's space between the bottom of the bed and the floor, einetzricha b'dika, so it doesn't require b'dika. So, kasha mita amita, kasha chorin achorin. So you have a contradiction between the two cases of the bed, because in the first braisa, Reb Shimon Gamliel is just saying that the bed requires bedika, and he doesn't say anything about wood or about wood or stones piled underneath it. And in the first one he said it does require bedika. In the second one he said it doesn't require bedika. At this point, the Gemara is not assuming that there should be a difference whether there's wood or stones piled underneath it. And kasha chorin achorin. You also have a contradiction about the two cases of the holes. In the first braisa, we said that holes that are high up or low down don't require bedikah. And in the second braisa, we're saying generically, any hole between you and your neighbor requires bedikah. So the answer is chorin achorin loy kasha. There's no contradiction in the two cases of the holes. Ha be'iloyo v'tatoi v'ha be'mitzi. Because one is talking about the ones that are higher and lower, and the other one's talking about the ones that are in the middle. So the ones that are higher and lower, then you don't need to bother checking them, because again, it's inconvenient to use them. You're not going to climb up on a chair every time you want to use them, or you're not going to bend down all the way close to the ground whenever you're going to use them. But meanwhile, the other braisa, the second braisa, is talking about the ones that are in the middle, the ones that are not so high up and not so low down, so those you use on a regular basis, and therefore there's concern there might be chametz in there. And mita mita loy kasha, there's no contradiction with the two cases of the bed, because hodemi dalya hodemi tatoi, because it depends whether the bed itself is high or low. If it's high, and therefore there's a lot of space underneath it, then it's easy to use the space underneath it, therefore we need to check it, as opposed to if it's low. So in other words, it comes out in the end, there is taka, no difference about whether there's, according to Rashi, about whether there's rocks or wood piled underneath it. The difference is strictly how tall the bed is. If it's tall enough that there's a reasonable amount of space underneath it, then you do need to check it. If not, then not. Tosfos gets into a discussion about a number of possibilities, not like what Rashi says. First of all, Tosfos says cholekas v'sech habayis. Now Rashi had said that it doesn't really make a difference whether it's actually cholek, whether you're actually putting it in the middle of the room in order to separate the two parts of the room. You know, like you have sometimes, for example, people will put their couch, for example, in the middle of their living rooms, divide up. This part is for the living room, and this part. Or it is for some other purpose. So Rashi had said it doesn't really matter whether you're doing it for that purpose, just the fact that the bed is standing there. Tosfos says that actually no, the word chelekes over here means that it actually goes from one end of the room to the other. So that in other words, if you want to get from one end of the room to the other, you actually have to go either over the bed or underneath it. So we're not talking about checking under the bed then, we're talking about would you need to check on the other side of the bed. Would you need to climb over the bed, or would you need to go underneath the bed? So now it depends then. So if it's tall, there's a couple of possibilities. So if it's tall, then you could, so the Gemara didn't want to give the answer then that it depends whether there's rocks and wood piled underneath it, because that wouldn't really make the difference one way or the other, says Tosfos. The difference is strictly how tall the bed is. If the bed is short, then you're not going to crawl under the bed to go to the other side of the room. Therefore, the likelihood is that chametz was not brought to the other side of the room at all. As opposed to if it's tall, then you could go underneath it. Or the other way around, you could say if it's short, then you could climb over it to get to the other side of the room. If it's tall, then you can't easily climb over it. Then Tosfos goes on to bring that there are actually other girsos that say that the girsa that we have in front of us is that in the first braisa it said you do need to check, and in the second braisa where it mentioned the wooden stones, it mentioned that you don't need to check. So Tosfos brings there are actually gemaras, there are actually kisviyad of the gemara that have a girsa the other way around. In the first one we say you don't need to, and in the second one you do need to, meaning that even if there's wood and stones piled underneath it, if the bed is short enough, that you could climb over it easily to get to the other side, you would still need to check. And then he brings from Rabbeinu Hanano that there is, in fact, both of them. It says Ein Sarich. And so the Gemara had asked that that in the first Braisa it said it didn't mention anything about wooden stones, and the second one it did. And the answer is that it depends how tall or how short the bed is. Anyway, that's the bottom line. So you may or may not need to check under the bed or on the other side of the bed, depending on these kinds of circumstances. Okay. So the Gemara asks, you're telling me that storehouses of wine, you don't need to do b'dikas chametz? We learn in a braisa that storehouses of wine, you do need to check. Storehouses of oil, you don't need to check. The answer is, we're talking about the kind of storehouse, you don't just leave the barrels over there, you actually go in there and use the wine for your table. That's what we had in the Mishnah as well. Because like we said in the Mishnah, Rashi had said, you may send your shamash to get more wine for the table, and he goes in there still holding his piece of bread. So we're talking about where you're using them for the table. So the question is, Yehachi Shemen Nami, knew, then the same thing should apply to oil as well. Sometimes it could happen in the middle of the meal that you run out of oil. The answer is no. Shemen yesh keva la'achila. Because when it comes to oil, you have a good idea in advance how much oil you're going to need. You know you invited X number of people. You know you need a certain number of, you need a certain amount of oil for them, for lighting the lamps and for salad dressing and whatever. You can get a good idea in advance how much oil you need, and therefore you can prepare it in advance, and you don't necessarily need your shamash. You don't typically need your shamash to go down in the middle of the meal and get more oil. As opposed to yayin and kevelashia, but when it comes to wine, there's no kvius to drinking. They may end up drinking more than they sometimes they drink more, sometimes they drink less. So therefore, the shamash himself, Rashi says, actually that's what it is the shamash himself. When it comes to oil, he knows in advance, if you tell him that I'm making a party for such and such number of people, then he has a good idea how much oil to bring up. But with wine, he can't really know that. So therefore, in the middle of the meal, you may have to tell him to go get another barrel of wine, and then he may go in there with his bread. Okay. Tony Rabchir Torah Braisa, also Oitzvus Sheikha Bavel, Ka Oitzvus Yayin Be'otisyob, Mistapik. When it comes in Bavel, they said the same rule applies to storehouses of beer in Bavel as storehouses of wine in Eretz Yisrael, namely that if you're regularly using them and you go and get from them in the middle of the meal, then you have to be bodik chametz. Now, obviously, because you may run out in the middle of the meal. The point is, in Bavel, they drank beer like the way in Eretz Yisrael they drank wine. Now, obviously, we don't mean beer of the kind we have nowadays, which is made from barley. That kind is chametz. We're talking about the kind of beer that they typically had in the time of the Gemara, which was usually made out of dates. So it itself is not chametz. We're going to learn at the beginning of the third parak about the type of beer we have nowadays that's made from barley. The Gemara calls it over there. The Gemara calls it over there Sheikha Hamadi. The beer from Modai, because that there they typically use barley, but everywhere else they typically use dates or other things like that to make beer. Okay. More dinim about this. Omer of Chista, Bei Dogim Ein Sarach B'dika, the place where you store fish doesn't require B'dika. For the same reason, because you don't necessarily go in there in the middle of the meal. So again, the question is, V'altani Tzrichim B'dika, we learn in a braisa that you do need to do B'dika over there. The answer is like Kasha Haber Ravrivi Haber Zutri. It depends whether you're talking about big fish or small fish. Big fish, again, you usually have an idea in advance how much you're going to need. You don't need to go get more in the middle of the meal. Small fish, like sardines or whatever, you may run out in the middle of the meal and you need to get more. Therefore, you need to do B'dikas Chametz. Similarly, Omer Rabba Bar Avuna, Bei Milchi or Bei Kiri Tzorech B'dika, the place where you store salt or where you store wax, you need to do B'dika. The same idea, because you may run out of salt or of wax in the middle of the meal, wax for candles, and therefore you need to go and get more. Amar Papa, Bei Tzivi or Bei Tamri Tzorech B'dika, the same thing, the place where you store your wood or where you store your date requires B'dika, same idea. Okay. Tana, we learn in a braisa, Ein mechayven oisa lahachnis yodel chur. Now, we said before that you have to be bodek the holes in the wall, and we said if you have, for example, a very thick wall between you and your neighbor, then you only have to reach in as far as you could, and the other guy only has to reach in as far as he could, and then the rest of you are mevatel. So now, Tana, Ein mechayv noisa lahachnis yodu l'chorin l'stokin. You don't require with him to put his hand, to put his arm into the holes and into the crevices, because of the danger. So the question is, my sakona. What kind of danger are we talking about? Do we mean that there's a danger that scorpions lurk in such holes and they might bite you? Well, then, then you have to ask, how did he use the hole in the first place? Wasn't he worried about scorpions then? And if he was able to use the hole then and put something in without fear that a scorpion is going to bite him, then the same thing now, he should have to do B'dikas Chametz over there. The answer is, no, we're talking about if it fell. Rashi explains that what we're talking about is the wall collapsed. So really, why should he have to check within that? Why should he have to check that? So he has to check that pile of stones, that pile of rubble, but he only has to check the surface of it. There's more of a chance that scorpions or other dangerous creatures like that are hiding out in the pile of stones. Therefore, we don't require him to reach his hand deep into it. Scorpions, they may eventually, but I don't know if scorpions eat bread, b'chlal, but even if so, that would only be after a long time. Scorpions are small creatures, after all. The Tosfos Reed actually has a different explanation. He says that nafal doesn't have to mean the wall collapsed. It means that the chametz slid down further in the hole, right? So to begin with, you used it higher up where you can see whether the scorpions or not, but then it slid further down, so we're saying we're not requiring them to yet. So the question is, e nafal lamali b'dika? If it fell, if the building fell down, like Rashi says, why would you need to do B'dika at all? We learn later on in our Masechta that if a wall collapses on Chametz, then it's considered as if it was destroyed, and you don't need to do anything further. The answer is, there you're talking about where a dog is not able to go and search it out, which the Gemara says there, if it's buried three tefachim deep. If it's buried three tefachim deep, then a dog is not going to be able to smell it and dig it out. Therefore, it's considered mavur, and therefore you just mavatal it, and that's that. Here you're talking about a dog would be able to go and get it out, because it's less than three tefachim deep. So therefore, you do have to check that pile. The only reason you're potter is because of sakana, but therefore you still have to check the surface levels. You still have to check the surface levels and see if you can get it out. Tosfos actually makes a distinction. There you're talking about yavadai chametz. So that therefore we make a distinction, three tefachim or less. If it's less than three tefachim, you're not potter at all. You actually have to, if necessary, hire workers to dig it out using shovels. And then burn it. Here we're talking about there's only Suffolk chametz over here. So therefore, the only question is whether you need to do B'dikah or not. So therefore, we're saying it's enough that you do B'dikah on the surface of it. You don't need to dig in. You don't need to reach in at all for that Suffolk chametz that might be there, and you don't need to hire workers to get it out. Well, you're saying if you find a gluska yafa in a big pile, first of all, it's not mud, you know, it's rubble, it's stones and whatever. The gluska yafa itself may be relatively clean, it's just a little dusty. But yeah, you still have, you know, ultimately we said a reason for B'dikas chametz was Shema Yimtza gluska yafa, but once we do that, in general, the rule is any chametz that's a kazayas or more, you have a mitzvah of tashbisu, you have a mitzvah of eseh. The question is whether you're over on Ba'yur or Ba'yur Matzah, but you also have a mitzvah of tashbisu to get rid of it, to destroy it. And again, midaraisa bittul is not enough because of gluska yafa, and once we say that, then in general, we say that bittul is not enough, you need to get rid of all the chametz that you can find. Remember, we learned before, there's even Rishonim who learn that if you have chametz that you don't know about and you weren't mevatel it, you're still going to be over on Ba'al Yerah Ba'al Matzah with it. Unless you sell your chametz, of course, fine, but yeah. Okay. So that's the difference, therefore. So you only need to look on the surface. You don't need to dig your hand in because of the danger of Akrav. Okay, so the question now is, Why is there a problem? Why do we consider it dangerous? Didn't Rabbi Elazar say that people who are on their way to do a mitzvah don't get harmed? So therefore, why should we be pattering him from reaching in there up to three tefachim and looking for chametz? He's doing a mitzvah, so the Eibishter will protect him. The answer is, because what might happen is that he also previously lost a needle in there, and now when he's looking for chametz, he's also going to be looking for the needle as well. So then he's not a shliach mitzvah. The question is, You're telling me that if a person does a mitzvah, but he also has some idea, he also has some personal pniya involved, you're telling me that that's not considered that he's a shliach mitzvah? Well, Hatanya, we learn in a brisa, ha'oimah sela zula tzedakah, if a person says, I'm giving the sela to tzedakah, b'shvil sheyichye b'ni, in order that my son should live, oy she'eya ben ha'olam haba, or in order that I should be a ben ha'olam haba, ha'reiz a tzadik gomer, then he is a tzadik gomer. Now, what does he mean, a tzadik gomer? Rashi says, regarding this one thing. We don't say it's considered that he's doing shaloi l'shma. The fact is, Hashem told him to give tzedakah. He's giving tzedakah. He's also having his own hanah involved, but that's fine. In other words, now Tosfos says, what about al tiyuk avodim amasham shenas arav amunas l'chava pras, etc. So Tosfos says that mishnah is talking about where, if he doesn't get the benefit that he wants, let's say his son doesn't make it, chas v'shalom, then he regrets, why did I bother giving the tzedakah? In fact, in other places, the Gemara and the Medrash says that's more true of Goyim. In fact, in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara brings this point also and makes a distinction between Jews and Goyim. If a Jew does a mitzvah for that a certain person should get better or whatever, and then in the end it doesn't end up happening, okay, I did the mitzvah. At least I did the mitzvah. He's happy with that. As opposed to the Goy is more likely to say, why did I bother doing the mitzvah? What good did it do me? So that's the kind of thing where we say, don't be like that, says the Tosfos. There's other answers as well. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, I think it is, says that the difference is that it means that he's a tzaddik gomer, but he's not a chosid. A chosid would go lefnim mishuros hadin and do like Antigonus Shsoicha is saying they were not serve Hashem for reward at all. Another interesting idea is maybe the word in the Gemara is not tzaddik gomer, but tzedek gomer, or tzedakah gomorrah. It's a valid, complete tzedakah. He himself may be a tzaddik or not, but the tzedakah is definitely a tzedakah. There's a line on it, I think, from one of the Rebbeim, or from somebody, I think, where a chassid complains to him that when he's giving tzedakah, he's doing it with wrong kavanis. He's doing it in order, you know, he doesn't really have the poor person in mind. He's doing it for his own selfish reasons. And the Rebbe tells him, yeah, but the poor person is definitely accepting it, b'lev shalom. So therefore, you know, that's a mitzvah in itself. Yeah. With that said, well, right? There is also a point that some of the Rishonim make. Maybe, in fact, with other mitzvahs, this wouldn't be good. Tzedakah is different, though, because we know that tzedakah, there is a concept, certain kinds of tzedakah, at least, where you're allowed to test Hashem. Usually, we say, you're not allowed to, loy tenasu es Hashem, you're not allowed to test Hashem. I'll do this mitzvah, and you'll do such and such for me, but with tzedakah, you are allowed to. We find in Malachi, it's actually in Haftorah of Shabbos Erev Pesach, that of Shabbos HaGadol, that Hashem says that you're allowed to test him in that, Hashem says, test me with this, and you'll see that if you give ma'aser properly, varikosu lachem bracha abli dai. We learned it also. This Gemara is also in Rosh Hashanah and also in Bava Basra. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, the point is that even though he's doing the mitzvah with an ulterior motive, it still counts as a mitzvah. So by the same logic, even though he's looking for the needle, it should also be considered that he's doing the mitzvah, and therefore he should be a shliach mitzvah and not be nizik. Okay, but the answer is Doma Basa Debodik Osula Yoni Basra. Okay, but what might happen is after he finishes the Bedika, then he's going to start looking for the needle. At that point, he's not a Shliach Mitzvah anymore. So that's the concern, that he might get bitten by a scorpion, and therefore because of that, we patter him from checking in there as well, from doing Bedika's Chametz in there as well. The Alter Rebbe actually has in one of his Maimorim a unique explanation of this thing about how Ima Sela Zula Tzedakah B'Shvil Sheyichye B'ni. He says, we're not talking about the original amount of tzedakah that you have to give just to the poor people have their basic necessities. For that, you're not being menadev tzedakah anyway. For that, people are, the gaboy tzedakah are coming around and collecting from you. We have to be talking about that you're giving above and beyond the basics that the aniyim need, so then you have the right to say that I'm doing it B'Shvil Sheyichye B'ni, etc. Okay. Anyway. So we had the case of the hole, and we said that you don't need to check in there that far because of the danger of scorpions. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar Mishum Sakonas HaNochrim. Now, Rav Nachman Yitzchok says the kind of danger we're talking about is not the danger of scorpions at all. It's, we're talking about the danger of goyim. Uplimoihi, where you have a next door neighbor who's a goy, uplimoihi, and therefore this price would go according to Plimoi, who was one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. The Tanya, Chor Sheben Yehudi La'amoy, if you have a hole in the wall between a Jew and a Goy, so before we were talking about a hole in the wall between two Jews, so each one checks as far as he can reach. But here you're talking about where on the other side of the wall a Goy lives. So then the Tanakama of this new Braisa says, Boydik ad Mokam Shiyodim Agas, the Yid checks and does B'dikas Hametz as far in as his arm can reach, Vashar Mevatli B'Litva, and anything further, he can just be Mevatl in his heart, because he can't reach it. We don't require him to sweep it out. Again, it might be that if there's Vadei Chametz in there, we would require him to, but at least for Suffolk Chametz, we definitely don't. Plimoy Omer, but Plimoy says no. Kol Atzmai ain't a Boydik Mepnei Sakana. You don't have to check in there at all because of Sakana. Now, we have to figure out. Now, Plimoy didn't specify what kind of Sakana. So we have to figure out my Sakana. E Nema Sakonas Kshofim. Do we mean the danger that the Goy is going to accuse you, he's going to see you going around in there with the candle, and he's going to accuse you of doing witchcraft against him? Well, ki ishtamish, hei ki ishtamish. Knew then how did he use the hole in the first place? The answer is, hosem ki ishtamish yumama unahoira. Because when did he use it previously? It was during the daytime, it was light, v'loi masik adaita, so therefore it doesn't occur to the Goy that it might be a matter of kishuf. Here you're talking about a night, and you're using a candle, or masik adaita, therefore it may give the Goy the idea to start a bilbo over here that you're trying to do kishuf against him. So therefore, Plimoy patters you from doing bedikas chametz over there. And the fact is, you can't really do bedikah there during the day either, because you don't get enough natural light in there. So therefore you're potter. Okay, the halacha is like Plimoy in that. Okay, so going back to va'amar Rav Elazar shluchei mitzvah ein nizokin, we just said shluchei mitzvah ein nizokin. So why should he be worried about what the goy is going to think of what you're doing with your candle over there? You're a shliach mitzvah. You're doing bedikas chametz. The answer is hechad shliach hezek shiny. It's different where the hezek is very common. So actually, the Gemara could have answered that previously about the scorpions as well. But now the Gemara is answering that when it comes to here, it's a very common thing that the Goy is going to think you're doing witchcraft. So therefore, that's different. Then we don't say that shluchei mitzvah in nizokin. Shenema, as we actually have an example. The Pasuk describes how Hashem tells Shmuel after the whole thing with Shaul and the war with Amalek, where Hashem said, that's it, I'm Shaul's out as king. And Hashem tells Shmuel, go to Beis Lechem and anoint somebody new as king. And Vayomer Shmuel, or Eich Elip, Shmuel says, how can I go? The Shama Shol V'Aragoni, Shmuel will hear and he'll kill me because I'm a Murid B'Malchus. And the Pasuk doesn't say, Hashem doesn't tell Shmuel, what are you talking about? You're going as a Shliach Mitzvah, you're going to be fine. No, Vayomer Hashem, Eglas Boko, Tikach B'Yadech V'Gomer. Hashem says to him, fine, take a calf with you and tell anybody who asks that you're going there to bring a korban. This was after Mishkan Shiloh had been destroyed. The Mishkan at this time was in Noiv. You were allowed to bring korbanos anywhere you want in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, he's going to Beis Lechem in order to bring a korban, and that'll be his cover story. And when he's on the way, like this, if anybody asks him, where are you going? Oh, I'm on my way to Beis Lechem. How come? Because I'm going to bring a korban over there. So therefore, that'll be his cover story. So we see that the Eivishner agrees with Shmuel, it's shriach hezeka. It's common that it's very dangerous if Shaul finds out what he's going for. So therefore, Hashem gives him a cover story. So the same thing over here. Even though he's a shliach mitzvah, it's common enough that there's the danger of goyim, or for that matter, of scorpions. And therefore, we don't say that shluchim mitzvah ain't a nizokin. No, he's not telling Shaul anything. He told Shaul already that you're out as king. But he didn't tell him, now I'm going to anoint somebody else's king. Shaul afterwards, after David came along as his musician, and afterwards when he defeated Goliath, then Shaul started getting the idea that maybe David is the next king. He actually didn't know it for sure until quite some time later, after Shmuel passed away, when you have the whole story of Shaul and the witch. Then that was the first time when Shmuel actually told him outright that the next king is David. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, but more on this connection about shluchei mitzvah in nizokin. Bo minei meirav. They asked Rav a question. Hani bnei beirav. These yeshivalite, the young chachamim of the yeshiva, the deity the boga. They live in village biz in the valleys, and the yeshiva is some distance away. Mahu lemesek kadma v'chashecha lebeirav. Should they be coming early to the Beis Medrash and leaving late? So in other words, should they be coming before Alois HaShachar and leaving after Tzeis HaKachavim? Is there reason for them to be afraid of Mazikim? Whether there's Ruchniyistika ones or whether the Gashniyistika ones or whatever, should they do that? Amalahu, so he says to them, Nesu Nesu alive al Tzavori, let them come alive al Tzavori. It'll be on me and my neck. In other words, they definitely won't be harmed. The mitzvah will protect them. Shluchim mitzvah ein nizokin. Therefore, if anything happens to them, it's on me. So they ask him, Nezel Mai, okay, that's as far as coming to the Beis Medrash before Alois Neshachar, or coming to the Beis Medrash after it gets dark. What about Nezel Mai? What about leaving the Beis Medrash to go back home? Should they do that at night? Now, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta that Lo'ilam Yikonis Adam Mekitov V'yetze Mekitov, that you should always go and leave when it's light. So, okay, when it comes to coming to the Beis Medrash, Rav is saying that there's no problem because the schus of the Torah will protect them, but what about when they're leaving? Yeah, Amalahu lawyer diner. So he says, I don't know. So Itmar. So they said on this, Amar of Elazar shluchim mitzvah in nizokin loy bahali chosin v'loy bahazirasan. No, they don't get harmed when they're going or when they're coming. So that would answer the question. They are able to leave, and they're still going to be safe from the mazikin. I guess the case was that it's not one of these cases of shchiyah hezek. It's not one of the cases where the hezek was that common, especially because we learn in other gemaras that mazikim, I guess we're talking primarily about the ruchniyistikakai and the shadim, they tend to only attack people when there's one person by himself. There is b'chal, we learned in brachas, Tamad Chacham al Yetzi Yechidi Balayla, that Tamad Chacham shouldn't go out alone at night, first of all because of Mazikin, but second of all because of Chashad, because people may suspect that he's going for something of Znus or whatever. But here, b'pashtus, when you have people are leaving the Beis Medrash, they're leaving in groups. So therefore, Mazikim and Chashad is not a problem. Okay. So the Gemara says, Kiman. Now this, that Rabbi Lazar is saying that Shluchei Mitzvah don't get harmed even when they're on the way back. They already finished the Mitzvah and they're on the way back. Who is that like? Which Tana says such a thing? So the answer is, Kihai Tana. Like what we learn in a Braisa like this, the Tanya, Isi Ben Yehuda, Klapish Omra Torah. Now the Torah says, that the Torah says that you have a mitzvah of aliyah l'regel three times a year, and the pasuk says v'lo yachmed ish es artzecha, no person will covet your land. So in the simple sense, it means exactly that, like the goyim are not going to take over your land while you're away on aliyah l'regel. However, Marsha says the Gemara is bothered by the question why the word ish. If we're talking about goyim taking over the land, you need a whole army for that. So the expression is v'lo yachmed goy es artzecha. So therefore, so it means not just your land, it means that your cows will be grazing in the meadow, and even wild animals won't be mazik them. So we're learning from the word es. When it says es outzecha, means not just your land, but the things that are tuffle to your land, namely your animals. And when we're saying, v'lo yachmed ish, the word ish means not only human beings, it can mean also animals. Like you have, for example, by the Teva, ish v'ishtoi. So therefore, it means that no ish, no animal, no wild animal will harm es artzecha, your animals, for example, your cow that's grazing in the meadow. Similarly, your chickens are going to be pecking around in the garbage as they usually do while you're away on a lila regal. They ain't hold a mazikasa, and no weasels will harm it. So now, says Isi ben Yehuda, you can make a kavachomer from this. Cows and chickens, which often get injured, and still Hashem promises that when you're going on aliyah l'regel, they're not going to get harmed. People who don't usually get harmed as often, because people, the Gemara mentions in other places, have mazel. They have a shodosh of their neshama l'mayla. They have the ability to look out for danger. And therefore, people are generally in less danger in the first place. Allah has kama v'kama, how much more so that they won't be harmed when they go on aliyah l'regel. And Isi ben Yehuda continues, Ein li ela ba'alicha, so we would only know from the pasuk that applies when you go to Yerushalayim, b'chazora minayin, how do we know the same thing is going to apply when you come back? Tamad loyma, ufanisa ba'boker, therefore the pasuk says, after the yomtiv, you're going to turn around in the morning, v'halachta lo'oyalacha, and go back to your tents, meaning, malama chetimsa shetelech v'timsa ohocha b'shalim. You're going to go back home and you're going to find your tent and your house and everything else of yours is still at peace. So we see, in other words, from this, that Isi ben Yehuda holds that exactly what we're saying, that Shluchei Mitzvah are not going to be harmed when they're going or when they're returning. So Rabbi Lazar is following that in what he says. The Medrash actually has a number of interesting stories about that, of people who were Oyla L'Regel, where B'derech HaTeva, their things should have been harmed, but the Eivishter did a nes that not. For example, it mentions there was one guy who, when he left to go on a Lila L'Regel, he forgot to lock his door. You would think by the time he comes back, there's going to be nothing left in his house. He comes back and finds a snake wound around the bolt of the door. Nobody can get in with that. A couple of other examples like that. One interesting one is it says there were two brothers from Ashkelon who went on Aliyah LeRegel. Their neighbors were all Goyim. So the Goyim figured once these guys leave on Aliyah LeRegel, then we'll go and take over all their stuff. Kitzur HaMaaseh, every day of Yom Tov, every day throughout Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed, the Goyim see that there are people walking in and out of the house. Okay, I guess these guys changed their mind. They're not going on Aliyah LeRegel after all. The two brothers come back after Yom Tov with presents for their neighbors, figuring, you know, listen, our neighbors probably helped watch our place. They deserve some presents. They come back, and it turns out these were Malachim in their disguise that came in and out of the house every day in order to protect it from the neighbors. So, yeah, the neighbors don't deserve any presents, but, you know, they're very embarrassed. That they got caught out and that they would have had, yeah. Anyway, there are a few other stories like that in the Medrash, yeah. Okay. So the question is, okay, so if we're being told that you're going to be safe on the way back from Yerushalayim, then Bahalicha Lamali, then why does the Pasuk even need to say anything about when you're going to Yerushalayim, a Kavachomer that you're going to be protected then, because then you're on your way to do the mitzvah? The answer is you're right. That part is l'chid Rab Ami. That part is needed to teach us what Rab Ami says. The Amar Rab Ami kol adam sheyesh lekarka ola l'regel. Rab Ami says only if you have karka, only then are you required to do aliyah l'regel. V'she'en lekarka ein ola l'regel. If you don't have land, then you don't have to go on aliyah l'regel, because that's what we're saying. V'lo yachmet ish es artsecha. In other words, only if you have land, which people might covet, and then you're saying that the Eibishter is going to protect that, only then do you have to do Aliyah LeRegel. The logic of that is, what's the connection? We actually learned that, by the way, on Daf Gimel. We had the Tosfos mentioning over there why Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira himself was an Aliyah LeRegel, why he had to send a secret message with the Goy over there who was, yeah, because, and one reason is, Tosfos says, because he didn't have land, therefore, as our Gemara is saying, he's potter from Aliyah LeRegel, and Tosfos learns he's also potter from making the Korban Pesach. No, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira wasn't a lady, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. No, the Levim don't have, the Levim have the Ore Migrash. The Levim have the Ore Miklat. Those are still considered their land. Yeah. Marsha, by the way, says a logical reason why would there be a connection between owning land and being Oilo L'Regel. He says because a primary purpose of being Oilo L'Regel is in order to rejoice with the produce of the land that Hashem gave us. You bring Bikurim on Shavuos time. You have Maaser Sheni. You have other things like that. So therefore, so if you don't own any land, then you're missing all of that. So therefore, your Aliyah L'Regel is going to be less significant. You still have to bring karbanos, but the halacha is, and Rav Ami is telling us, that if you don't own land, then you're not required to be Oilo L'Regel. Okay. Amrav Oven, Amrav Ada, Amrav Yitzchak. Mipnei ma ein peres ginoisav Yerushalayim. Talking about Aliyah L'Regel, why are there no peres ginoisar in Yerushalayim? Ginoisar is the area near the Kinneret, which was and is very, very fertile. The fruit over there was really, really delicious. We learned about in Brachas how Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish and other Chachamim would eat huge amounts of it. So why is that not found in Yerushalayim? On the face of it, Yerushalayim is the center of Eretz Yisrael. Everything we know, even the Eibishter started creating the world from the Evan Shesia in Yerushalayim, and then like it branches out there to the rest of the world. So why, if you have Peres Ginoisar elsewhere in Eretz Yisrael, how come you don't have them in Yerushalayim? So the reason is, Kadesh lo yu oile regolim oimrim, because you don't want the oile regol saying, il mole loy olinu el alecho Peres Ginoisar Yerushalayim dayenu. If we had only come to Yerushalayim in order to eat Peres Ginoisar, then it would have been enough for us. V'nimtzas aliyah shaloi l'shma, so then it comes out that they were oilo l'regel, not l'shma. So Marsha says this is the connection with what we said before. We were saying that the primary reason why you should be going on aliyah l'regel is to be happy with the mitzvahs with Peres Haaretz, Bikurim, Maaser Sheni, and you give them to the aniyim and so forth. So then your aliyah will be l'shem shemayim. If you don't have karka, then you're not really going up l'shem shemayim. So therefore, the Gemara is mentioning another thing over here, where if you had Peres Ginoisa over there, then people would also be going up for Shaloi L'Shem Shemayim. Other Meforshim explain, the connection is, we were talking about before, that if you do, we said at the top, we were talking about at the bottom of the previous Amud, on the top of this one, that if you're doing a mitzvah, and you're not doing it purely L'Shem Shemayim, you're also doing it for other purposes, then you may or may not be considered a Shliach Mitzvah. So here, we're talking about the same thing. In other words, if you had Peres Ginoisa growing in Yerushalayim, and then you said, I'm going on Aliyah L'Regel, and I would have gone even just for Peres Ginoisa, then you're not necessarily a Shliach Mitzvah. So therefore, the Eibush didn't put them in Yerushalayim. Similarly, Similarly, Kayotzeboy Omer of Destoy Brabyane, Mepne Ma in Chamit Tveria Birshlaim, why are there no hot springs of Tveria in Yerushalayim? They're in Tveria, they're not in Yerushalayim. And in fact, here also, there's a, now what's the logic? Why should they be in Yerushalayim? So I think the Tosfos HaRosh says, because we learned in Eruvin that Gehenim has a few different openings in different places in the world, and one of them is by Yerushalayim. The hot spring, the Gemara says over there in Eruvin that Gehenim has a few openings in our world, in Olam Hazeh, and one of them is near Yerushalayim. It's, in fact, there's a valley right outside Yerushalayim called Gei Ben Hinnom, which is where the name Gehenim comes from. If you stand on the west side of Yerushalayim, of the old city nowadays, like near Shaul Yafo, and you look towards your west, you have a very deep valley between you and the next part of the city. That valley is Gei Ben Hinnom. Anyway, So given that there's an entrance to Gehenim by Yerushalayim, the Gemara mentions over there, there's another one in the Midbar and another one, whatever. Anyway, so you would think, therefore, it's very logical that there should be hot springs which are fed by the heat of Gehenim right there in Yerushalayim. Again, the same idea. Kadesh lo yu oir regolim oimrim. This way the oir regol don't say, il molo lo yolinu el aluchat b'chamit veria dayenu. If we had only come up to Yerushalayim in order to bathe in the hot springs, it would have been enough. But nimsis aliyah shaloy lishma, and the same thing that it comes out that they're doing aliyah le regol, not lishma. The Eibishter wanted that the Alir L'Regel should be done completely Lishma. Okay. We said in the Mishnah over Me Omru Beis Shuras Chola. We said in the Mishnah that any place where you don't bring in chametz, you don't need to do B'dikas chametz. And then the Mishnah said, so in what case did the Chachamim say Shtei Shuras Vamautif that you have to check two rows in a wine cellar? So the question is, Ma'atif Mandachar Shmei. Who said anything about a wine cellar up until this point? You're saying, well, Me Omer Beis Shuras Ma'atif. Why are you even mentioning a Ma'atif? We didn't say anything about that until now. The answer is Chol Kama. What the Mishnah means is, Kol Mokam She'en Machnis and Chametz Ein Tzarech B'dikah. Ve Oitzris Yayin Ve Oitzris Shemin Nami Ein Tzarech B'dikah. Also, storehouses of wine and oil don't need B'dikah. Like we said on Amad Aleph, if you're just storing the wine and the oil there and not using them, on the case of the oil, we said even if you are using it on an ongoing basis, because you don't need to bring more during the meal usually, as opposed to wine. So what is the case where the Chachamim said that you do need to go into a wine cellar and check it? Is Makam Shemachnis and Mechametz, the place where you bring in chametz over Mistapik? So we're talking about just that, where you regularly use wine from that wine cellar, and therefore there's the concern that the Shamash goes in there in the middle of the meal holding a piece of bread and gets a barrel of wine. We said in the Mishnah, Bishama Im Shtei Shuras Chola, we said that Bishama says you have to check two rows in the expression in the Mishnah was Bishama Im Shtei Shuras Al Pnei Kol HaMartif, that you have to check two rows on the whole surface of the Martif. And Bishama says Shtei Shuras HaChitzonis Shehen El Yonis, the two upper rows, which are the outer rows. So what does that mean? Omer of Yehuda, Shtei Shuras Sh'omru. When Bishama says two rows, it means Mina Oretz Vad Shmei Koda. It means from the ground until the ceiling. So in other words, Bishama would say you need to check the front row, the whole front row of barrels, and the whole row behind it, and that's it. Rabbi Yechanan Omer Shura Achas K'min Gam. Rabbi Yechanan says what it means is one row of barrels like the Greek letter gamma, which is shaped like a langachof or like a dalet. So the whole row in front and the whole row, the whole layer on top that faces the ceiling. Tanya Kavaseid Rabbi Yehuda, Tanya Kavaseid Rabbi Yechanan. In fact, we learn brises like both Rabbi Yehuda's and Rabbi Yechanan's versions. Tanya Kavaseid Rabbi Yehuda, Beshama Im Shtei Shuras Al Pnei Kol HaMautif, Ushtei Shuras Sh'omru. What kind of two shuras do we need? Mina Oretz Vad Shmei Koda means both rows are from the ground until the ceiling. That is what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. So a brisa says what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Tanya Kavaseid Rabbi Yechanan, and then we learn a braisa like Rabbi Yechanan's understanding. Shtei Shuras Al Pnei Kol HaMartif, Chitzoino Royes HaPesach. We mean the outer one that faces towards the door. Now, not only the ones in front of the door, of course. We mean all the ones in that direction of the door. Ve'oyoino Royes HaKoda, and the upper one which faces towards the ceiling beams. Shalefnim Hemet, Nebeshalemat Hemet, are the ones further in than the first row, and the ones below, the first layer, Ein Sarach B'dikah, those don't require B'dikah. So we see that there are braisas according to understanding Beis Shammai both possible ways. Then we said, Beshilul Oimim Shnei Shiras HaKatzonis Shein El Yonis. Beshilul says you just need the upper two rows, which are the outer ones. So again, we have a machloikus, what that means. Omer Rav, El Yonah V'Shalei Matah Himeno. Rav says it means the upper one and the one directly below it. So in other words, according to Rav, you have the upper row of barrels going across. Then you have, in front, then you have the row below it, and that's it. You don't need to check any further down towards the ground and nothing further back either. Shmuel says it means the upper one, the upper corner one that faces the wall, that faces the door and the ceiling, and the one behind that, the one row behind that, but not anything further down and not anything further back. So what's the reason for the machlokas? My time of the Rav. Dayak chitzonis, because Rav is focusing on the word chitzonis, the outer ones. He says, Shmuel, what are you talking about? The second one in, you need to check. The second one is not the outer one. It has to be, both of them have to be outer ones. So in other words, when the Mishnah is using the word chitzonis, it means exactly that. Only the ones that are outer, only the ones that are facing towards the doorway. And in fact, Tosfos says, Rav holds that that's the more precise one, because it says at first, it says, Shnei Shiras HaChitzonis Shehein El Yonis. So we should assume that the word chitzonis is the primary word over there. So then the question is, well, Yonis Katoni. Okay, what does Rav do with the word Oyonis? He says, Lamaoti Tatoi de Tatiosa. He says, okay, it means the ones from the third row and down, you don't need to check, but the first two you do. Then, Ushmuolam El Yonis Shalifnim Henena. Then Shmuel says it means the upper one and the one further in, the second one in. So again, my timer, why does Shmuel say that? Because Dayak El Yonis, because he's saying the Mishnah uses the word El Yonis, which has to be precise. It has to be that means Davka, the ones that are on top, not the ones that are any further down. Because Tosfos says, since the Mishnah had said Shteshiras HaChitzonis Shehein El Yonis, so he says the Shehein El Yonis is clarifying exactly it means only the El Yonis. So then, what does he do with the word chitzonis? He says, Lamaoti gaviyasa de gaviyasa. Fine, it means the ones, the third row in and further back, those you don't have to check. The first two you do. So who is the halacha like? Rav Chiya tonik kavasei de Rab. Rav Chiya tora braisa like Rab, that it means the top one and the one underneath it. V'cholu tanoi tono kavasei de Shmuel. All the other tanoim, all the other people who taught braises, taught like Shmuel, that it means the top one and the one behind it. The Hilchsa, Kavasei de Shmuel, the Halacha is like Shmuel. However, with that said, the Rif has that Dirsa, but almost all the other Rishonim do not. They paskin like Rav. In general, we have a rule when there's a machlokas in Dine Issa V'Heter between Rav and Shmuel, the Halacha usually is like Rav. They paskin like Rav over here. So apparently, they did not have in their Gemaras the Dirsa, the Hilchsa, Kavasei de Shmuel. So therefore, they paskin like Rav, that it means the top one and the one underneath it. Well, obviously you want to use, obviously, right, you want to use, right, but in other words, I guess what we're doing is, there was a standard kind of way how they would tend to take barrels out of the wine cellar over there. If you use a different way, then maybe, yeah. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.